Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So Lima held up, he goes, Ken, and he puts up the number 4 and his 4 fingers. He goes, fourth quarter, I go, stop it. I don't think you ever knew this. I hate it when TV... Guys, fourth quarter.
Here it is. Let everybody know.
So you guys weren't trying in the first three? Is that it?
No, fourth quarter's winning time.
Guys, fourth quarter. I said, well, what if both teams hold up 4 fingers for the fourth quarter? Then who wins the tiebreaker? That's Ryan Wilson at CBS Sports.
Well, then
Sports.
I told you what they would do next, and you didn't enjoy that.
Can't
as
say
much.
That on the air.
Yeah.
Hi, Ryan Wilson. How are you?
Embrace it, midfield.
Good morning, guys. How's it going? I'm glad I'm the one to start off the fourth quarter.
Yeah, fourth quarter, Ryan. Do you think that's silly? I think it's really silly.
Yeah, no, it is. But look, when you're 18 to 30, you need to motivate yourself. No one does that when they're walking into the bank after lunch. But I get why people do it. Just to
if I put my hand like that, I think
pretty,
police would be showing up.
I'm
a few
pretty
minutes later.
Positive the head coach of my son's football team that I'm an assistant coach on is listening right now, and I think he had him do it last year. And I hope he's listening right now because I just think it's silly, and I don't want to ever do it again. I hate it.
All right, well. Message received from the youth football coach.
Who would you take? Yeah, there you go. Sound like a caller here. Who do you trust more right now, Kevin Stefanski or Mike Tomlin?
What's the kind?
Who do you trust more to win football games for you, Kevin Stefanski or Mike Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin, just because he has a history of doing it with lesser talent around him, especially at the quarterback position. I think Kevin Stefanski is really good at calling plays, and he's proven that he's that. But I think sometimes, at least historically on the outside looking in, it felt like his hands were tied by perhaps people that owned the team, and maybe they held up fours at the start of the fourth quarter. I don't know. But if you're asking me, I'm going to go with Mike Tomlin based on his body of work.
Would Kevin Stefanski have left Matt Canada in to start this season as an offensive coordinator?
No.
There you go. Boom.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. And the perceived stubbornness, I don't know what you want to call it, to continue with Matt Canada. And I know when you talk to people in the organization, that the thinking was, well, we'll just power through this, and this will help Kenny Pickett's development. And, you know, neither of those things turned out to be true.
Ryan Wilson, joining us right now on the hotline. Obviously, Mike Tomlin, it's been a while since he's even won a playoff game. You know, he was somebody who took over a winning organization. I think Mike Tomlin is a really good coach, and obviously they go 500 every year. But we hear it from Pittsburgh people all the time that they are ready to move on and freshen things up.
It's funny. One of my good buddies from college, he was born in the Cleveland area, and he texts me often about he would hire Mike Tomlin in 4 seconds if he got fired. in Pittsburgh. And I think that's the consensus by a lot of fan bases and probably a lot of owners if they have the opportunity. Mike, and you talked about it a lot. I mean, he does win more than 500 games, but I take your point. Get a little shots in at the Steelers. But his ability to do a lot with a little. And look, Ken, you made a fair point. He also has had some missteps. Matt Canada is the most recent glaring one. And they have underperformed late in the season and in the postseason. But I think when you talk to players who have played for him, to a person, I don't think I've heard anyone come out and say they absolutely hated playing for Mike Tomlin. It felt like his ability to motivate, and I think he probably has some motivational tactics that we could all agree maybe wouldn't pass the test that we've been talking about here. But I think it felt like everyone buys into what he's selling, and he finds ways to get more out of what might look like they might be capable of doing on the field. I mean, they went 500, I think, with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges back in 2019, I believe, when Ben Roethlisberger got hurt. And then we saw what happened the last few years when they certainly outperformed the talent they had at the quarterback position. But those are fair concerns, and that's part of the deal with playing in a sport where you make millions of dollars and the expectations are through the roof. I don't know. I always say this about teams talking about players that want to get or fans want to get rid of the quarterback. What's plan B? I mean, you might need a new quarterback, but what are you going to do to make things better?
Ryan Wilson with us right now on the hotline talking NFL football. Anything stick out to you from the opening weekend of the NFL? We had a bunch of games, special teams. There was some numbers that were uncovered, in fact, by one of your colleagues, Breach, over the last 24 hours that said the new rule really didn't shake things up all that much.
No, and part of me wonders if some of that is a function of figuring out how this thing is going to work for the players and coaches, and maybe some of these special team coaches are holding back on what their grand plans are in terms of schemes, and rarely do we talk about special teams and scheming up plays. I thought it was, I think most of us don't care about special teams. You just kick the ball through the end zone and you get on with it. But I actually thought it was fun, the new rule. At least it's something different, at least it's an opportunity for some big plays. I do wonder if maybe putting the ball at the 35 instead of the 30 when you kick it through the end zone might add a little more spice, and I don't know if that's a rule you can change now or not, but I think there's an opportunity for things to get a little more exciting after a team scores and then doing the ensuing kickoff. But, yeah, nothing outstanding in terms of special teams. I was blown away, and I had to keep reminding myself it's week one of preseason, no one cares. But the way Caleb Williams played in the handful of snaps he got was fun. It looked a lot like USC, and it reminded me a lot when people said last fall that he can't play in structure because he's just schoolyard ball in it, and he did a little of that. He did a lot of in structure, so that's encouraging for Bears fans. Who knows what it means long term? In fact, it's funny. I went back and looked at my notes from last week one preseason. I could not quit talking about Dorian Thompson-Robinson going 9 for 10 in his first preseason start, and how that portended good things for his season. And obviously, he had an up and down rookie campaign.
How could he play within structure? I believe his offensive line wasn't the best, and certainly his defense sucked. How could he play in structure at USC?
Right. No, that's exactly right. And I kept saying that, and people that were pushing just for the sake of pushing, this is how the internet works, they didn't care about any of that stuff. His offensive line is a lot better now. His playmakers are a lot better, and his defense is one of the best defenses in the NFL of Chicago. So I think things look a lot differently for him. It's just a matter of trying to manage expectations if you're on the outside looking in, which is going to be tough given how good he can be. And we saw glimpses of that in Buffalo over the weekend.
We got Ryan Wilson joining us from CBS Sports. All right, DTR, Tyler Huntley, who would you rather right now give that number three QB job to?
I think DTR. I mentioned how his preseason last year was through the roof, and then he struggled during the year, and no shame in that. It was a rookie, asked to do a lot on a team that went through, I think, at least four quarterbacks in Cleveland. He looked like I thought he would look when I went back and watched him against the Packers over the weekend. He wasn't asked to do a whole bunch. There's that one play where the right tackle blew the block on Brenton Cox, and he avoided that and was able to use his athleticism, things we saw last year at UCLA. And I think if he's QB3, that's a great spot for him to continue to develop. Tyler Huntley's been around a little longer, and I don't know if you're going to get any more from him in terms of what his ceiling could be, but I think DTR, there's certainly a ceiling there. He's got a big arm. He's a really good athlete, and I think once the game slows down for him, he starts making the plays that you want him to make. Again, going back to last preseason, he looked to be one of the best players on the field, and once the season starts, we know how everything changes once defenses start taking things seriously.
Is Tyler Huntley somebody the Browns could trade before the season starts?
Maybe. Josh Dobbs is traded in season for a late round pick, I believe. I don't remember the details of it, but it feels like if you need a backup and you're concerned about your number 2/3, maybe you get a late round pick for him. It feels, barring injury, and God forbid there's an injury, but it feels more likely that maybe someone gets released and then the quarterback gets signed that way. But if you told me a team gave up a 7th round pick for Huntley, I could certainly buy that.
What did you make of the whole Brandon Ayuk situation in San Francisco? And to the point where, obviously, in Pittsburgh, there were a ton of rumors. In Cleveland, we had about a day and a half where it dominated the headlines. And then right now, it seems like people are starting to be resigned to the fact he might just go back to San Francisco.
It's a weird one, right? Because they drafted Ricky Pearsall at the end of the 1st round. And the assumption was, my assumption was that, okay, this is a contingency plan for Brandon Ayuk. And then the latest reporting you hear is that the 49ers looking for a wide receiver in return once they ship Brandon Ayuk wherever he's off to. Now, Amari Cooper seems to fit that bill. I don't know, and you guys may know better than I do, whether Brandon Ayuk said he didn't want to go to Cleveland or not. I know he said that about New England, which also had Kendrick Bourne, who had previously played in San Francisco, and they could have shipped him back to the West Coast. The Steelers have no such wide receiver, or they didn't want to come off of someone like a George Pickens. So that suddenly stops the train. But I go back to what the 49ers initially did when they drafted the rookie Ricky Pearsall in the 1st round. Now he's been banged up, but they still have so many weapons. It was peculiar to me to hear that they wanted another wide receiver in return. It sounds like the compensation is around a 2nd round pick and a player, so that doesn't seem incredibly steep. But if you love Brandon Ayuk so much, you're going to have to update the what you wanted to pay him. It sounded like the Patriots were thinking $32 million, which is, that's a lot of money. Justin Jefferson makes 35. He's the highest paid wide receiver. And the reports were that San Francisco offered 26 or 27, which is Jalen Waddle money. I could get by on that, but apparently you couldn't. So they're going to have to up the offer for him to keep him, unless there's a situation where they just try to play off the clock and force his hand once the season starts, which is now, I think, 3 weeks away.
Ayuk or Cooper, go.
Cooper is quiet. Cooper makes plays. Cooper gets open. He's older, but I'll take Amari.
So why is it that Ayuk, on all these analytical lists, they had him as, if not the best wide receiver in football last year, they had him top 5?
His numbers are crazy. Even his, you know, advanced metrics numbers that you're sort of talking about there, Lamar, are nuts. They're up there with Justin Jefferson when he's healthy. CeeDee Lamb is up there. All these guys that came out around the same time when they came out of college. Obviously, Amari's a little older, and he's moved around a little bit, but that doesn't take away from what he's able to do and the consistency with which he does it when he's healthy. But I think Ayuk at 26 is just so much upside. Now, is that a function of Kyle Shanahan? I don't necessarily think so, but you know, with Justin Jefferson, he's doing most of the heavy lifting. You know, CeeDee Lamb has the benefit of playing with Dak Prescott, but it feels like Brandon Ayuk in that system, you want to say, well, maybe Kyle has something to do with it. I don't think that's the case, but I understand why he's so incredibly popular. I just feel like if San Francisco's tired of dealing with all the stuff with Brandon Ayuk in terms of getting the deal done, Amari Cooper hasn't said a word, and I feel like, all right, well, let's just go play, and we know what we got in Amari Cooper.
Ryan Wilson joining us on the show. 4 teams in the AFC North. Who's left out of the playoffs this year?
You know what? I'm not sold on Russ Wilson and or Justin Fields. Deshaun Watson has to get healthy, and I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing about it as well. But that defense is legit, and I think they can help them out a lot. But if Deshaun's healthy, I think that team has a chance to be another playoff team. I mean, they went last year with Joe Flacco, which is a whole other story. But I think the Steelers and the quarterback situation is what gives me pause. I know it's a great story, but Russ hasn't played yet, and Justin Fields looked like Justin Fields in week one of the preseason. I think Joe Burrow, if he's healthy, we know what he can do, and Lamar is Lamar. So I'll just rank the quarterbacks, and when you do that, the Steelers come in last.
So if Deshaun Watson, he's going to play on next Saturday against Seattle, what does a guy like you have to see? Because I think a lot of fans are going to go, was he good or was he bad? And then that portends to what the rest of the season is going to be. What should they be looking for out of Deshaun Watson as he were to make his first start since breaking his shoulder?
I don't need to see a lot. I want to make sure he can throw the ball overhand and push the ball down the field. I'm not saying he's going to go there and throw a bunch of bombs, but like to see some intermediate throws that look like they have a little pace on it. Maybe if he throws one deep ball, great. They don't have to connect. I just want to see that he can do those things because we know he's athletic. We know he's smart. And if it looks, if you get 70% of what he was when he was at his peak in Houston, that's a step in the right direction. He can't go out there and miss a bunch of easy throws or dirt a bunch of intermediate throws. Again, even if it's one series or two series, I just want to see glimpses of what can be. I don't necessarily need to see him go out there and go 10 for 10 for 200 yards and four touchdowns. Just a couple of good throws to show off the arm and get him out of there.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You grew up a Steelers fan. Let me ask you this. Do you think it seems right or seems out of place, whatever? Do you think it seems right that the Browns play in a domed or roofed stadium?
Yeah, that's weird. I don't think any of the AFC North teams should. I don't even like the fact that the Bengals, I don't know if the Ravens did or not, went back to grass or not, but the turf drives me crazy as well. Outdoor grass elements. And I know some people say, well, games shouldn't be decided by elements. Well, they've been decided by elements for however long football's been played in the Northeast and the Midwest. I have no issue with that. But playing in a dome, it feels so sterile. Even Detroit feels sort of weird. It's a beautiful stadium. It's turf. It's indoors. You're not experiencing anything what's going on outside. I would imagine players care less about it than the fans sitting there being cold. But, I mean, you guys have been in Cleveland your whole entire life. Is it a miserable experience sitting outside when it's 30 degrees?
Can be. Yeah.
Put on a hat. What are we doing?
When they're doing well, you don't notice, really. When they're not doing so hot. I mean, that's kind of the way it is. Yeah.
Do you want a dome?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
Oh, interesting.
Reason, I know it sounded like I didn't. The reason is because, you know, I think that the traditionalist stuff, like people say, well, the weather helps us win. Recently, I think we believe that because we've had better players. You know what I mean? Like, I said, well, Pittsburgh, the weather helped them win. Yeah, Jerome Bettis was a Hall of Famer. So let's not act like, okay. So with the Browns, like, yeah, you got Myles Garrett, you got Denzel Ward, you're good to go. I mean, they don't need to be a bunch of snowmen out there. And also, I think, honestly, Ryan, it's like, are prices going to go down for tickets? No. You're going to go from probably $4,500 for season tickets in certain sections to sometime over the next how many years, $5,500 for season tickets. You get to a point where it's like, you want to just be comfortable too? Don't you want to be comfortable and be able to take, if it's going to be an expensive ticket, don't you want to be able to take your jacket off and enjoy something here?
That's actually a fair point. As I get closer to, you know, middle age and beyond, yeah, you don't need to be a hero. I understand that part of the argument. I was trying to be a traditionalist about it, and you promptly talked me out of it. All right, let's go to the suite and eat some shrimp.
But you're also in a place. I mean, they rule that stadium with an iron fist, that county does. I've heard, I don't want to call them horror stories, but I guess from people over there in Pittsburgh, it's like, yeah, man, they can't even put up signs without it going to the board and the board rules, and they have to turn down sponsorship money because they will not let them put up signs, the field, the whole thing. And I think some people hear that and go, man, how can we get one of them deals? But it is seemed to be prohibitive to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they are a different type of organizations. I can't see them ever playing indoors because I don't think that Pittsburgh or the county that Pittsburgh's in would ever spring for an indoor stadium.
But let's also be real. And look, there's wind, no doubt about it. You guys are right there on the lake.
Yes.
Pittsburgh less so. And also, how many days of snow are you guys getting between Thanksgiving and Christmas when the season typically winds down? Not a ton. You're not getting 50 inches of snow in those 4 to 5 to 6 weeks. You're getting maybe 5 inches total, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not playing in January and February. And I say that as someone who lives in upstate New York, but I get it. I understand both sides. I understand the comfort side of it. I understand just old school wanting to go out there and see what happens. And by the way, the Titans-Patriots game that was 50-0, I think that was in the crazy snow conditions, that was fun to watch. It probably stunk to play in, but did you enjoy watching that game? I sort of enjoyed throwing it back to the when you were younger and playing football in the snow days.
Yeah, but those things are so rare anymore. Like, yeah, people keep bringing up the snow game against the Bills in 2007. I'm like, guys, that was 17 years ago.
Fair enough. All right, you got me. You're pretty good at this.
I'm okay. Ryan, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours.
Thank you, guys.
Still like beating the Cubs. I still feel weird about beating the Cubs. I still feel weird about the Cubs. Do you not feel weird about the Cubs anymore? You said you didn't care anymore. Yeah, and you brought up Golden State, and I'm like, I kind of still feel a little bit weird about Golden State because of our history.
Well, I wondered, what is a Cavs game against Golden State once Draymond's not there, Klay's already gone, Iggy's been gone, and Steph and Steve Kerr. You know, Kerr will not be there when Steph is gone. So it'll be none of those people that we grew to have this visceral hatred for during one of the best moments in Cavs and Cleveland sports history. We grew to hate them if those guys aren't there anymore. Because I asked you yesterday, any Cavs fans care about Chicago Bulls anymore? Better yet, did you care about the Broncos last year?
No.
You know what I mean?
But that was a different generation for me.
Yeah.
I don't feel that, like, guys who are old enough to remember John Elway, do they feel weird about the Broncos?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Like, you root against the Broncos. Not even root, but it's like, I'm not expecting you to stand up on your couch.
Not even wearing the same uniform.
Yeah, like, I don't expect you to stand. Like, if they're playing the Raiders, the Broncos and Raiders, I don't expect you to stand up and fist pump if the Raiders get a pick six. But, like, do you still feel weird about them because of the history? I still feel weird about the Cubs. Is there anybody on the Cubs that was on that 16 squad? I don't think so. The last one we have is Jose. I still feel weird about the Cubs. I ain't gonna lie. I still feel weird about the Braves. 95.
Wow, come
yes.
on.
Yes.
The Braves.
Yes. I still feel weird about the Braves. They beat us because both of those teams, like, my aunt lived in Atlanta. She would send Braves stuff back, like, here you go, happy birthday, Kenny. And, like, I would get, like, a foam finger or a helmet because they were a National League team and I was a little kid. She was living in Atlanta with my uncle, and, you know, no big deal, right? So they would send it. My cousin lived in Atlanta, just outside of Atlanta. Like, it was a whole Atlanta thing. And they would send stuff back, and that was cool. And then we lost him in 95, didn't want anything to do with it ever again. And then I told you this, we've said the Cubs story a million times. We both would wake up, or we both would go home, watch the Cubs, then watch the Indians. And then the Cubs won, and now I feel weird about the Cubs. Like, we were in their stadium, and I felt weird about the Cubs. I can't find myself rooting for them or being happy for them or anything like that. And I don't know if that's going to change. So I would imagine like a 50-something-year-old man would see the Broncos and still feel a little weird, even though that nobody's been involved with the Broncos on those teams in quite a long time.
Yeah, I guess when John Elway was the GM, okay, you could still kind of hate
Elway.
He's
still kind of involved with him in a way.
Is he?
I don't know what he is, but he's something.
He's got some sort of VP title.
Yeah.
I guess for me, this is the big difference between the NFL and college sports. I think I'm always going to hate Michigan. I'm always going to be annoyed by Penn State and Wisconsin. You know, there's always going to be those teams that I'll have something against just down the road. The SEC, I mean, the entire conference, just because there was like a 15-year battle for conference supremacy that Big Ten really almost never won.
Yeah, I don't feel that way about the Big Ten because, you know, I didn't go to Ohio State.
But even the Big Ten's not the Big Ten anymore, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like, but I don't feel that way towards any MAC school, maybe. So I can't really share that experience with you the way that you guys who went to, like, the big land-grant universities would feel like. I like the beat in the Cubs. We've had some weird takes about baseball here over the last 2 weeks. Not us. I mean everybody. I got people calling me out saying I'm making it up for kicks about my feelings of going game by game with the Guardians. I go, yeah, they're 70-49. That's a nice record. They're only 3 games ahead of the team in second place, though. You can't just fall asleep and say, well, everything's fine. Okay, the people who are saying that everything's fine, are you going to be saying everything's fine if Minnesota were to overtake us
no.
in the division?
No.
No, because you guys are the ones throwing out the word disaster. So don't put that stuff on me saying that you're paying too close of attention. Somehow I'm paying too close of attention to the Guardians and that I'm being overly critical of the Guardians. I'm trying to find where we can get better. That's what I'm doing.
You should always be hoping the team plays better. I mean, certainly. But there is the balance, right, between being satisfied with a win. And I thought because baseball, because the season's so long, because there are so many games that, you know, you can put up with mistakes by the bullpen. You can put up with some fielding issues or base running lapses as long as you win because you come right back the next day. And in the NFL, like we don't have the luxury of being able to come back the very next day after a loss or so to speak. You know, if you get a win, you have a full week to celebrate. And that's what's different about the NFL. Baseball, we're turning the page so quick that shouldn't it just matter whether you win? Every team's making mistakes. Every yes. team's having issues, you know, from night to night with a bad bullpen situation or, you know, the lineup didn't come through or you couldn't get a clutch hit. But as long as you win the game, you know, isn't that
yeah,
all that matters?
Yeah, I understand
matters?
That, but there's still stories within the game. Yes, winning the game is what matters. No one's saying that they were mad because they won the game. But what people are bringing up, and I defend Stephen Vogt about this, well, why do you run Scott Barlow out there? Well, because he's like maybe the first generation of managers who has to deal with guys only able to go 5 innings. And I'm not just talking about Stephen Vogt. I'm talking about everybody in Major League Baseball. Like, what now is a quality inning is just, or quality outing is just getting guys to 5 innings. Where before it's like, hey, give me 7. Go out there and be a workhorse for me and get me to 7, give me 7 innings. They don't do that as much anymore. So now he has to use with more usage. And there's guys you trust, there's guys you don't. Heron, Barlow, you really don't trust a whole lot. Guys coming back from injury, you really don't trust a whole lot. But I defended Stephen Vogt on that. His lineup hasn't been as great, but I just don't think it should be held against anybody if they look at the Guardians and believe that there's ways that they can get better. Not trades, not sending people away, maybe bringing a couple of people up, whatever, but looking for ways to get better because it is wide open, but because it's wide open, that means that you can pounce. Did you also hear Spencer German the other day?
I caught
wind. He was hosting
wind.
Yesterday.
I definitely caught wind of something very controversial that he said over the weekend.
I dared him to say it, and I think he like backed out of it where he said that what fans here don't know, or excuse me, young fans don't know who Bob Feller is, and that Jason Kipnis is more well-known than Bob Feller, is what did Spencer say?
So it's lunacy to us, right?
Is it lunacy to us?
I do want about what, Bob Feller?
Because when I brought it up to you, you were like, well, and I'm going, you I don't think you should go down that road, but you go right on ahead
and
do it.
If you're young, then Bob Feller probably doesn't mean much to you at all. You know, for us, we were regaled of Bob Feller and his legend and, you know, fighting for the country and then being a dominant pitcher and being really the identity of Cleveland baseball for so many years, something to be proud of. You know, you'd see him at events. I did an interview with his wife at the Hall of Fame one year in Cooperstown. So yeah, Bob Feller to me is a sacred cow.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, how old is Spence? Is he in his?
He's 31.
He's 31. Yeah, I don't think Bob Feller's resonating with
38.
Fans.
I'm 7 years older than he is.
I think there probably is at some point in that.
Okay,
range.
But to say that Jason Kipnis is a bigger figure to sports fans in Cleveland than Bob Feller, you understand, is asinine. But Bob Feller didn't die that long ago.
Yeah, they just didn't see. They barely even saw highlights of Bob Feller.
I barely saw highlights of Bob Feller. There's also, like, you can open up a book or get on a website.
Yeah, but you care to do that. I think there are people that do not have that relationship.
So they're just okay with sounding like idiots in public?
So here's the thing. Growing up.
Not that Spencer sounds like an idiot. Oh, God.
Growing up, the history of baseball.
I didn't mean it that way.
Was more important than the history of the other sports. When I was growing up,
yeah.
I remember I even had a book. It was given to me. When I can't remember the author, but I got my sister still has to have it in Chicago.
And who wrote Flowers in the Attic?
And I would
Victoria Andrews.
I would go back. That's also one of my favorites.
Maybe VC Andrews.
I would go back and I would study the history. Some of it was just for trivia questions.
It's VC Andrews. I can't believe it.
That was a thing when we were younger. You'd be asked a bunch of trivia questions about baseball. The history of even though this is a proud football area. It was baseball. It was baseball that I was always paying attention to the history of.
Yeah.
Are 30-year-olds, do they care about the history of baseball? You can barely get them to care about baseball.
But saying that Jason Kipnis is a bigger figure than Bob Feller?
To them, obviously, to
it shouldn't
Cleveland
be to anybody.
Sports.
It shouldn't be to a newborn baby girl, and it shouldn't be to the oldest man in Cleveland.
They saw Jason Kipnis. They watched
him
day in
and
day out. They don't know anything about Bob Feller.
I didn't see Bo Jackson. Who would you rather have, Bo Jackson or Jason Kipnis? I didn't see Ted Williams. Who would you rather have, Ted Williams or Jason Kipnis? I didn't see how many other countless baseball players.
This is
I didn't see Roberto Clemente.
I told you the same thing about Jim Brown. I think,
and that's also true. If Jason Kipnis were a running back, I would rather have Jim Brown.
It's not about the better player or anything like that. It's just you're talking about identifiable and, you know, people you rooted for. You know, you just didn't get a chance to watch Jim Brown. You didn't get a chance to watch
don't
some
you
of these
think
all-time
that's sad?
Grads. That kids don't have that relationship with history the way that we might have had. I mean, yeah, probably is
I don't
sad.
Even think it's kids. I would think it's guys like us who are supposed to have kids and teach them that type of thing. The guy's got a statue out front of the stadium for crying. Well, so does Jim Tomey. But he's got a statue out front of the stadium for crying out loud. I mean, Jason Kipnis over Bob Fell. I got to hear the clip when he says it. Time for Mitch, please.
All right, guys, during his Colorado press conference on Sunday, Colorado head coach Deion Sanders was addressed by reporter Eric Christensen of CBS4 Denver. Those three letters, CBS, ticked off prime enough for him to refuse the question from Christensen.
Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado.
CBS, I'm not doing nothing with CBS. Next question.
Joe Rigo, my last
I ain't got nothing to do with you. It's above that. I ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you. Respect you. I ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe Rico, my life's
with you. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they did was foul.
He's cracking.
You think so?
Yeah. This is starting to get a little odd. It's getting harder for me to defend him.
So last year, they get off to that amazing start. And then next thing you know,
3-0.
They were on the cover of every magazine, if you still get magazines. You saw them on 60 Minutes.
Playboy's coming out with print edition again.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Scratch and sniff. You could see Deion Sanders on 60 Minutes last year. That was CBS. You didn't see
Bob Guccione
him. You didn't see him complain.
Larry Flint, man. Those were those magazines.
You didn't see any complaints whatsoever from him. He was absorbing any kind of media that he could get his hands on. And so now, a year later, people are writing some bad things. I think they're predicted to finish where in the Big 12?
Down near the bottom.
Holy cow. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do any kind of high school recruiting
No.
last year. He's just doing NIL.
Very little, yeah.
So they look to be in trouble, but I will say this. This is a spot where, again, Deion Sanders is very entertaining to me. I want to see how he deals with it. And you're right. It looks like he's cracking.
Entertaining, but I'm a fan of Deion, and I don't like that I've said things that I hope go well for him, and it doesn't look like it's going to go well.
Well, he has done a lot of things over the past, I'd say, 8 months that make you question whether he understands what college football is truly all about.
His schedule's a bit of a buster here. Have you seen his schedule? You know, they open with North Dakota State on the 29th,
which
on Thursday.
Are they even favorites in that game?
They probably are.
Are they?
Maybe, because they're home. This is a game North Dakota State would have been favored in. I can't say easily. North Dakota State would have won this game 3 years ago. They would have just won it. Then you're at Nebraska, at Colorado State, where you're home for Buffs football, 92.3 The Fan. And then you get into, Colorado State nearly got them last year. Then you're into Big 12 play. Nebraska's going to be better this year. Matt Rule's not going to be on the mat forever. I know people have been saying that about Nebraska football for 20 years, but they're not going to be on the mat forever. Like, he's got a tough start. And the worst part about it is that if you got a bunch of transfers, and what concerns me more is the turnover in staff. And yes, I am a Sean Lewis guy, but that was ridiculous after that.
It was totally ridiculous.
When you have that type of turnover, you bring in transfers, but then they don't have people that they can trust on your staff. And then they start looking for ways out.
Well, and then you started trashing those guys.
And when you get thrown under the bus, you're automatically going to start looking for ways out. So like a 1-2 start for some schools is like, all right, let's get our bearings here and let's finish off the season strong. We got 9 more games left. They're not going to do that. If they go 1-2 to start off the season, they're in serious trouble to the point where, like, Deion could just wash his hands of this thing, and he might do it anyway after Shador goes to the NFL.
They got off to that amazing start last year, and they pulled off some actually the first, handful of games. They shocked me. Maybe the competition was what we thought it was, what they had a win over TCU, I think, and TCU had been in the playoff the year before. Clearly not the same team last year. Either way, it was impressive what he was doing at one of the worst Power 5 programs there are in the country. With all of that said, we were wondering, but does this last? Is it something, like, he's starting to try to revolutionize coaching football, and he's like, no, you can do it this way. And a lot of people involved with college football are like, no, you can't. Good luck with that. Good luck having that kind of staying power. Good luck trying to build a program that's going to last, operating like this, saying the things you're saying.
Yeah, you need guys that are still long in the tooth guys. You need guys to have a buy-in to what you're selling. And it can't just be new guys every year. Like, there has to be a build of a program. Okay? I know that NIL is going crazy, but you still have to have some guys who have been there for the long haul. Like, Florida State, you've done a better job. Mike Norvell's done a better job. They still got guys who are like 23 years old on that defensive line who have been there that entire time. So they were there during the tough times when people were calling for them to be fired, when they were losing to D1AA or FCF schools, and now they're national championship caliber, and we'll see what they are this year. I don't think they're going to be national championship caliber, but they could certainly win the ACC. Like, you need those type of guys. All right, that's enough of that. Do you want to play the Spencer German clip here?
Okay.
I want to make sure.
Let's get it in.
I kind of ripped Spencer, and I hope I got it right.
Yeah, were you being
Spencer
fair?
Here. He's talking about Jason Kipnis and what, being a bigger figure in Cleveland now than Bob Feller hit it.
Kipnis is obviously not like a Hall of Fame player. He's probably not even like a Guardians Hall of Fame player. But in terms of popularity, I genuinely want to know if Jason Kipnis is a top 10 most popular Indian/Guardian of all time. Because, like, listen, you got the 90s teams. People still have very much an affinity for them. I think people living today, if you're going to go tell me like Bob Feller, who played like decades ago, is like a most popular Indians player of all time, I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. I think, listen, Bob Feller can be an all-time great Indians player, like one of the best to ever don the uniform, but you're never going to convince me that he's like one of the most popular players ever.
We had it wrong.
The guy literally was playing during World War II.
We might have had it wrong.
We had it wrong?
Well, just in how we framed it. Because there's no chance Jason Kipnis is a top 10 most popular player ahead of Bob Feller ever. There's just no way.
No. Well, I didn't say he was ahead of Bob Feller.
We were talking about, like, from a fan perspective, I could understand a younger fan saying, Bob Feller, who? Like, yeah, Jason Kipnis, I watched him. That's not what he was saying. He's saying top 10 most popular ever.
With and people living today is what he said.
Well, how would you?
So technically you were right.
I don't know. I mean, that's that. I don't know anybody that would say, and again, I guess if we're just breaking it down by demographic,
okay,
that's all we're doing. It's like, yeah, if you're age 22.
So did Spencer get it wrong is what you're saying.
You never saw Bob Feller, but he was talking about like all time most popular Guardians. Kipnis is not top 10.
No. Is he close to top 10?
I don't think so.
Top 25.
Of the last decade.
Well, then yeah, probably.
Yeah, Bob Feller didn't play in the last decade.
Yeah, it's been many decades since Bob Feller played.
With anybody that is 30, they should have a bunch of 90s Indians in there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it'd be the whole team.
And it'd be the whole starting lineup and some of the pitchers.
I put Jeremy Burnitz ahead. Not of Bob Feller. I mean ahead of...
Paul Sorrento?
I really like Paul Sorrento. My dad always disliked Julio Franco for whatever reason.
Oh, come on.
And then I heard a story about Julio Franco, and you wouldn't like it either.
About Alvaro Espinoza.
Kicked a dear friend out of his seats when no one was at the stadium. Had the usher go up and kick him out of his family seats, even though his family was, like, never at the ballpark. Yep.
That's not the Julio I know or my family knows.
True. Who is that dear friend?
You come from a long line of Julio Franco.
I may tell you during the podcast. You have to hear that. 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. Make sure you're listening. 10:15 live. We might go early today. See how it goes.
Would you like to talk about the 10 sexiest athletes? You've got a Cleveland athlete on that list.
Of the sexiest?
Sexiest athlete? I'll tell you, Bob Feller made the cut.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.